jail and when I was 16. And I went to the old country church. Pastor Church coming down the road, it said Morningstar Independent Baptist Church. And I said to my son, that was the name of my home church. He said, no, it wasn't. It was Morningstar Independent Missionary Baptist Church. I said, yeah, it's true. But anyway, I would go there and get under conviction, but I never did get saved until I got 16 years old. But thank God I got saved. But now we're saved, why don't we do something about it, amen? Let's go forward with the gospel. I want to preach a message this morning on investing in people, amen? Paul the Apostle, he rode into town in Thessalonians and started a church. And he rode into town, there was nobody saved. I think what we need is, there's three things I think we really need to invest in. I think we need to invest in church planting, local church, amen? I think we ought to invest in the Bible. You can't get saved without a Bible because this tells us how to be saved. I mean, it tells us how God made the world, how the stars and the moon and all of those. How would we know if it wasn't written in the scriptures? We would have never known. Thank God for that. We need to invest in our young people too. Because I'm not seeing a lot of missionaries. I don't know. I'm not in the States. I've been Mexico for 20 years. But I don't see a lot like I've heard. You know, you hear things. But I don't seem to see a lot of people surrendering like they used to be. Investing in people. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your wonderful grace and your mercy. Lord, I pray that you would use me today. God, I can do nothing without you. I pray for thy spirit to move. And Lord, I pray to help me invest in people all my life. And Lord, may I not throw in the towel or give up. And Lord, I pray for my children. I pray that you would call them into the ministries too. Lord, we don't have a lot. Lord, I desire. And Lord, maybe there's someone here that you're dealing with about going to the mission field or surrendering. And Lord, I just pray that you would work in their hearts in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's Paul the Apostle. He made an investment in people. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians, let me see what time we got here. Okay. Preacher, holler at me if I go over. Sometimes I forget. I go over. I hate it. I do. Anyway, Paul the Apostle in chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians says, "For yourself, brother, know our entry in unto you, that it was not in vain." Whenever you try to do something for God, it's not in vain. God's with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. "For yourselves, brother, know our entry in unto you, that it was not in vain." We can stop right there and say, he says, brother. Before he went into Thessalonians, there was nobody saved. And then he goes and he starts as a church and people get saved. He leaves town and he writes back to them and says, brother. That's a blessed thing. Amen. He made an investment in those people. And now he can write back and says, brother. It's not in vain to serve the Lord. Amen. Verse 2. "But even after we have suffered before and was shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." Note that much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth their hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is our witness. Nor of men sought we glory. Now Paul is talking to the Thessalonians, and he said, I made an investment in you. And he writes back and told them how he made an investment in them. He says, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as nurses cherish her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and our travail, and for labor night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. The gospel, what changes people, man, I'm telling you. Ye are witnesses, in verse 10, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameable we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And he's telling them how he lived. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that you may walk worthy of God, who have called you into his kingdom and glory. So there we have it, the record. How Paul made an investment into the people's lives. There's a lot of investments we can make. A lot of people make real estate investments and these things. But the best investment you'll ever make is to invest in souls. Invest your life of reaching people with the gospel. Amen. A lot of times we try to invest in our own selves, in our own good. I mean, sometimes we're more interested in getting people, our kids and grandkids into Dollywood and then getting them into the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Well, we need to make an investment. We're like a candle. You know, we consume ourselves, giving light to other people. And then we just die. Amen. You know, David said that in Acts, it said that David served God to his generation in the will of God. What God has called us to do is to serve our generation and make an investment in their lives. Amen. In verse 1, we want to see here that in verse 1 and 2, if you're going to make an investment in people's lives, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you. This meeting here is talking about investing in people. And it's not just going to cost you money. But Paul says, we went into your town, the Thessalonians, to make an investment into you, but with much contention. They're going to talk about you. They're going to run you down the road. There's going to be some contention. When you start preaching the gospel, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the homosexual crowd will rise up. Amen. And somebody in the church is going to give you fits. Amen. I mean, when we started the first church in Mexico, I tell you what, I don't know what it is, but starting a church in the beginning, I think the devil does everything he could do to stop it. Everything. We had to kick 3 people out of the church in a couple of years. But within 15 years, that's the only 3 we had to kick out. Amen. But I tell you what, there's going to be some contention. Who said it's going to be easy? Right? They'll talk about you. They'll talk about the preacher. They'll talk about they talk about that church over there, a bunch of holy rollers or whatever. But it's all right. We're going to go on. Amen. We're going to invest in people. We're going to still give our money. We're still going to buy Bibles. Amen. We're going to still preach the old gospel. We're going to still try to reach souls. Amen. But a good thing, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. In verse 3 and 3 through 6, we talk about making investments. You got to have the right motive. The right motive. Paul the Apostle says, he said, I didn't come to deceit, for uncleanness, for guilelessness, or flattering, or for covetousness, not for glory, and not to be a burden. Your missionaries are I'm going to tell you, they are not out for the money. I mean, my three oldest brothers make more money than I do. Amen. And missionaries are not out to get your money. Amen. We have a right. We have to have a right motive if we're going to invest in people. Why do we do the things we do? Because we love God, and we want to get people to say, Paul the Apostle said, I didn't come to get your money. I'm not here for your money. I didn't here come to be famous. I come here to preach the gospel to you so that you can get saved. He was just serving God. All we are just serve God. Amen. It don't matter what other people think. What do they do? We just want to serve God. Amen. They're going to talk about you. They're going to kick you around. Amen. Brother Whittemore, they do, don't they? But anyway, you know what? It doesn't matter. If you're right with God, it doesn't matter. I mean, it don't matter what other people think. Amen. Now, if you're not right with God, it's another thing. Amen. You better get right with God right here, right? Amen. And then so just serve God. But do it the right motive, not to be seen. I mean, I don't know why anybody want to go to Maine. I really don't. Only God. I mean, some people say, I don't know why you want to go to Mexico and get shot up by the cartel. But, hey, the Lord. I love literature. And people say, why do you do that for? And I said, it's just in my soul. It's in my blood. I got to do it. Just a call that God has given to me. I tell you, we have to have the right motives. And so why do we serve God? Because we love him. And we do want people to be saved. The preacher was preaching last night about loving souls, amen. But we don't really have a compassion. You know, especially if we're in the ministry and stuff, sometimes you do it day in and day out. And you kind of get cold. But I thank God for messages like that. Paul the Apostle said, you invest in people, you have to care for them. Paul said, I came to Thessalonians as a mother cherishes her child. I was tender unto you guys. I loved you guys even more than my own soul. And sometimes we lose that compassion. Oh, we need to invest in people. We need to get that burden. We need to get a revival of fire. I mean, sometimes we need to get a fire in our tail. Amen. And ask God to give us a compassion and burden for to see people saved. I tell you, somehow we can do that. Paul says, you were dear unto me, willing to have imparted unto you our own souls, affectionately desirous of you. This is the words he says, gentle. When people say, and he made an investment into those people. Then he goes on in verse 8 and 9, he says, to make an investment in people, we've got to preach the gospel. The gospel. I was on the border, Mexico, and I was trying to get scriptures in, and I was trying to find a way because the mafia would stop me every time I go across the border. And I got tired of them pointing guns at me and trying to get money off of me. And so I asked God, would you help me? But I was trying to find contacts. And so I ran into a fellow. He said, yeah, I've got a place here you can store probably scripture. I asked him, well, what do you do? What's your ministry? He says, well, I provide beans. I said, beans? I said, don't you do anything else? He said, no, my ministry is give the beans into Mexico, get beans. I said, man, well, that's all right, but people can't get saved on beans, amen? Amen. We need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is to be carried into all nations. Because the gospel changed. It changed my life. Changed my mother. And changed my brother. He was on drugs. It changed my whole family. Amen. We started drinking from a different fountain. Amen. Well, I tell you what. When I went down to Mexico, we make these packages. We make packages and put John and Romans and gospel tracts and chick tracts. We got enough in there to save the world. Amen. I said, well, somebody said, why do you want to put so many? I said, I don't care. God will make more. Amen. We'll just get it out. And so, anyway, one fell on the sidewalk. A lady come by and picked it up, came to church. She brought her son. His name's Antonio. Antonio was a drunkard and just about divorced. And he was in debt so bad. But he came to church and got saved, heard the gospel. And he'd been with me 12 years. So he got saved, and then his wife got saved. He became her assistant, and his wife became her a Sunday school teacher. His son drove the church van, and he got saved. His daughter got saved, and last week we ordained him, and he started a church in the northern part. Amen. Amen. Okay, it's worth it when you see those things. Amen. It's not in vain. Well, I tell you what, they called me and trying to extort me and run me out of town, but, you know, it's worth it all when you see those guys. Amen. Preaching the gospel there. Gospel saved. One lady came and saw the church sign. She said, I got to have God. She'd been in the mafia. She came and she came to church and she got saved, listening to the gospel. And her husband got saved. Then her kids got saved. So they're in the church now and they're in a Bible Institute. She called me one day. She said, Pastor, could you go down and visit my sister? I said, what happened? She got shot 7 times. She was in the mafia, in the cartel. And her baby got shot right in the head, went through there. And so I went down there and told her the gospel. She came to church and got saved. They both lived. I mean, I tell you, the gospel will change your life. I mean, and we need to be preaching the gospel, and that's what changes people's lives. Now, almost there. Amen. I got 10 minutes. I got 12 minutes, and I'll be done, Lord willing. We're on verse 9. We only got 12, right, preacher? Amen. So verse 9, Paul says, if you invest in people, he said, I work day and night. It takes work, brother, I'm telling you. Amen. I mean, it's a spiritual work. You'll have to come and pray on Saturday night if you want to get some souls saved. Amen. That's the spiritual side. But you're going to have to go out there and give them tracks out. There's one guy, Miguel, Mike. Is he here today? Well, there's another guy. What's that guy that did singing here? Jimmy. Where's Jimmy? Jimmy. You know, Jimmy gave the guy a gospel track down at the laundromat. So he got here. It takes work, amen. It takes prayer and it takes feet. And we have to do them both. Anyway, we got to go out and get the gospel into the hands of the people. I mean, Paul said, I work day and night. I mean, I think he worked probably a secular job and then he worked and he preached. It's work. If you want to have a revival meeting, you invite people to come, and then the devil will send his people, and the devil's people invite them to a party. It's a spiritual battle. And then we're in a spiritual battle. We have to fight. We have to invest in people, and we have to keep going on. Amen. Well, I tell you what. It pays. Weariness, there's pain. It took great labor. You know, almost like labor pains. You know, I've never had a baby, but my wife had 3. Amen. And anyway, so they travel or they travail for 9 months. And then when the 9 months comes, the baby is born, they forget all about it because they have a man child. They have a child. Sometimes we work and we travail with people, and then finally they get saved. Amen. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Well, I tell you what. Amen. Now, here's another thing. Paul said that we're going to have to make an investment in people. We're going to have to live a holy life, separated life. We don't go out to go out here and buy a cabin and live up in the mountain, which would be nice. Amen. So, but you can't reach people like that. Now, we don't go to the honky-tonks, and we don't go to the bars with them, but we go and talk to them, and we will sit down and eat with them, and we'll invite them to the church, and we'll invite them to Christ. We'll give them the gospel. I mean, we're going to live a holy life. We need to live an example. We need to be different. I mean, we don't live one way in the church and then home, do whatever you want to do. I mean, no, I think your salvation should change your life. To the point that you are different. I'm different. I don't have the same worm burnings that I used to have. Amen. Well, I tell you what, we need to live a holy life. Don't be a fraud. Live it. Amen. When I started a church in Mexico, there was a guy who came and he seemed real promising, really good. And I even let him preach and doing the training to preach. But you know what? One day, one of the older ladies in the church called me. She said, hey, that Lupe's been coming over to my house. I said, what's he doing over there in your house? He said, he wants me to go drink, and he's got a bottle of liquor. I said, you mean the same Lupin that's in their church? He said, yeah. Well, I said, I'll take care of that. So anyway, he was the one that God had to kick out. But anyway. So you think everybody's on the up and up, but it's not true. But oh, I tell you what, we need to live a different life. Amen. How's your attitude? What are you? You're not cussing the people you work with, are you? Amen. We need to be different. We need to. Paul said, "I live a holy and righteous life before you guys." You know how we lived. We're honest. We're honest people. We did it because we wanted to see you get saved. We want to make an investment in your life. Then we need to invest in exhorting with patience. Not everybody grows the same way. Amen. Amen. We got people come in and our church, and we try to get them saved, and they get saved, and look like they fell in the tackle box. Amen. But later on, they get cleaned up. Amen. And they serve God. Amen. They're a blessing. Amen. They're a blessed people. I love it. But I want to tell you, we need to invest in the people's life. We need to invest in their lives. And I tell you what, it's important that we give our life. I'm going to finish with this story. Back in 1968, there was a group of people wanted to pull out of the convention. They didn't want to be in the convention anymore. They went to an Independent Baptist camp meeting. And after the camp meeting, this group of people got together and says, we need to start a church. So one man made an investment. He said, I got 2 acres of land that I'm going to give to start a church. And they said to this man, they said, well, you're going to be our pastor. So the man that gave 2 acres of land became the pastor. Became the pastor of this church in Limestone, Tennessee. It's three counties up, 4 counties in Washington County. Right across the line. And so they started the church. And this man, he liked to go to Camp Myrtle, Mississippi, with Percy Ray and J. Harold Smith and all those guys. He's all fired up. So anyway, but he went down and he visited this woman. She was a young woman. She had a drunkard for a husband. And she had 7 kids. So she comes to church and gets saved. She gets saved. And anyway, she brought all those 7 kids, poor as all could get out. And that woman was my mom. Amen. That woman, it was my mom. And she took us all 7 kids to the church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And all revivals. She was there. We didn't have a car because the neighbors picked us up. And so, so us kids grew up. We got out into the world, but we all came back. We're all in church today. But the pastor's named Buster Helton. Buster Helton. Buster Helton made an investment. 2 acres of land, started the church, amen. But he never did know that those 7 kids wouldn't be a missionary. He never lived to see it. But one of them became a missionary to Mexico. One of them hauls Bibles down to Mexico in his tractor and trailer. One of them sings in the choir and does the maintenance in the church. 2 of them are still at the same country church at Morning Star Independent Baptist Church. Amen. And I tell you what. And my mother's still going. My mother even came to this church looking for Bibles. And this church gave her Bibles. Amen. She's still going. Amen. Amen. Since she got saved in 1970. And anyway, she's still going. The investment is still going. Amen. Now she's adopted 6 children. She's 73 years old. Be 74. And she's got 6 more children she's raising. Because you know why? She said, well, I just couldn't stand the thoughts that there were 2 homosexuals going to adopt those. And I just had to adopt them. Amen. And so she takes them to church. So we'll see how that turns out. There's an investment. You don't may not see it. You may not see it. You may not see all the investments you make in missions. You might not see it. That's okay. We're just here to serve God. Amen.